following has been produced by PutThemInASong.com.
My name is Shane Yoder. I write songs for a living. And every day, I hear stories transform into songs. Now you can too. Welcome back to The Root Note. I'm yelling because it's raining, it's pouring outside. I had 3 cups of coffee, it's after midnight, and I've done 4 interviews today trying to put this episode together. So I hope you enjoy it. This is Making a Name.
Hold on, I gotta do something for you.
No. Stop.
Shane really likes those sounds.
You know, Sebastian Maniscalco has the same thing. He was just talking about it.
I don't doubt that it exists. I just don't have it. Although, actually, I have had it recently. You know what pisses me off? You're snoring.
Okay. So, anyone that has that kind of urge every time they hear someone eat or drink knows that's not the same thing. I don't want to flip a table every time I hear someone snore, right? Let's get on with the podcast.
Going here.
All right, so this song is called Making a Name.
Uh-huh.
And I've been wanting to do an album for a while.
Mm-hmm.
Did I tell you that?
Yeah, you told me that the last time we did this. Are you using any of that footage?
No.
We talked about dealing with people.
Yeah, that was a different one.
Oh, okay.
This is not going well.
What do you mean?
You have to help.
Well, I'm listening to you. You haven't prompted me to say anything or answer a question. Is this because you're a bad conversationalist?
I am.
What are you wanting to talk about? What are you wanting to talk about?
Well, the idea for Making a Name is, I thought a lot about Grandpa, how everybody in the community knew who he was. He left behind a name that speaks way more to people than just his name. You know what I mean? Like a legacy. So, who is texting us?
It's your mom is on the front page of Garrett County newspaper, and everybody's joking about it.
I was on the front page too. I don't remember doing anything for it.
Wasn't that when you wrote that song or whatever about Grandpa?
Oh, it was. It was about Grandpa.
About Grandpa. I thought it was because you wrote a song about him. That was it. You cried in that episode. Spoiler alert. The episode.
Oh, that was called Better View.
Better View. Yeah, I was going to say, the episode's called Better View.
Yeah.
And it is one of the better episodes that exists, I think.
If you haven't listened to it yet, you should go back and listen to it. It's called Better View. It's about how my grandfather had such a legacy that he drew more people in to his funeral than lived in the town. But here's a clip of the song.
So what do you see now that your country mile above the clouds? Are the deer out running or bedded in something? Is the cabin road washed out? I gotta ask, what would Grandpa do? 'Cause you always had the better view. Grandma tells me about what you paid for the 300 acres back in 58. Now the whole family has you to thank for a better view. Miss you standing in front of the church with all the wisdom you got from the good word. You saw the light, so you lived your life with a better view.
As of now, like, I'm like, well, I don't really have anything. I don't think that people will remember me for much.
I think we all die feeling like that. I think even the people that we remember now, probably when they left, didn't think. I think Grandpa probably would be blown away by the impact he had, because to him, he was just being who he was. He wasn't trying to be known or to be, like, he wasn't setting out to impact people. He just was existing in his authentic way. And, you know, it's like, my dad is still here, but my dad is always shocked by the amount of people that come out of the woodwork and tell him, you know, the impact that he's had on them. So my dad is a caricature artist. That's what he does for a living now. I know you know that, but the listeners may not. But every year he and my mom, they're a part of this this group called ISCA, which is International Associate, International Something Association of Caricature Artists. I can't remember what the S is, but.
Super.
Super. They are pretty super. But they're a part of that. And my dad this year was nominated to be the president of that group. And they're kind of like celebrities when they go. They've only been going for like 5 years. But like, they always draw Duddy, my mom's dog, and like my dad. My dad's an amputee below the leg on both, below the knee on both legs. So like, people always enjoy drawing him because
I always say he looks like a caricature.
Yeah, I mean, like,
his face and the way he acts and everything, it's just,
yeah,
is him.
He's a character for sure. So anyway, so he was nominated to be the president of this whole association, and that's a really big deal and a big honor. And I was talking to him about it the other day, and he was like, I don't understand. Like, he feels like the bottom of the totem pole when he goes, like long way around saying, I don't think anybody believes on their deathbed that they're leaving a legacy.
Don't people want to try to do that?
I think, like, I don't wake up every day saying I want to leave a legacy. I want to be remembered as somebody who's kind and serves others. And, like, I guess that is your legacy. But, like, I'm not doing those things today to be remembered that way when I die, is what I'm saying. Like, like, I'm not sitting here thinking, man, if I died today, like, thousands of people would show up to my funeral like they did for Grandpa. Like, Grandpa's funeral was like 2,500 people. Mm-hmm. I'm sure he was, from his better view, himself was taken back by that, you know? More people showed up to this man's funeral than lived in the town he lived in. Mm-hmm. Like, That's a sign of greatness that we can. I don't think everybody hits that level, but it was. I've never seen anything like that. That funeral was one of the most. That was. It's weird to call it an experience, but it was an experience. I've never.
Yeah.
Seen anything like that. I have a theory that is, you have at least 3 number ones already written. I think you know, I think in your heart you know that too, but you don't, to do what you want to be doing, you don't want to do, you're one of the hardest working people I know. So before I say this, but like, you don't want to do, there's pieces of that recipe you don't want to include. Like, you don't want to go networking, you don't want to. You have to co-write. You have to network. You have to go to publishers, and you have to leave this studio. That's like the number one thing Kate says all the time. You have to, you know, it's like the whole, you got to kiss a lot of frogs thing she said on that episode.
Josh said that one.
Yeah. So Like, that's the, I 100% believe you have it in you to make a name for yourself as one of the greatest songwriters that has ever been in this city. I believe, I wouldn't, I know, but see, like, that's what I'm saying. Like, when people are living their life, they don't think that. I don't do the jobs I do to be the best in the city. I just do them to be excellent. Like, I just, the piece of the puzzle is that right now they all live at that computer right there. Like, all those great songs are locked away in that computer and nobody's hearing them. There are a couple pretty big songwriters in town that just when they listen to your, what's it called? SoundCloud? That wanted to write with you. I'm not going to say their names on this podcast, but if I were to say their names, anybody who's a songwriter would know exactly who they were. And they were interested, but you.
Oh, you mean Reverb Nation?
Yeah, whatever. Wherever all your songs live. Yeah. Hank, I need you to get off this mic cord. He's going to knock this mic off. Yeah,
those are not good.
It doesn't matter. If those aren't good songs, but two of the biggest songwriters in this city wanted to write with you over what those not good songs, there's your sign right there.
Well, I'd like to take this step to put out an album because that's always something I wanted to do. We do that first. Is that okay?
Yeah, but what are you putting that? You're not an artist.
I know.
So you're going to put out an album as a songwriter of you doing the vocals.
I haven't figured that one out yet.
So you're wanting to do a compilation of songs, not really an album. Artists put out albums, not songwriters.
Songwriters put out albums. Travis Meadows, I wouldn't call him an artist.
Does he perform out?
I'm sure he does.
Pretty sure he does.
Yeah, I'm sure he does.
Let's see if you can guess who I think in recent years has made a name for himself that won't be forgotten for a long time. You ready? 1, 2, 3. Steve Jobs.
Steve Jobs? He made in the recent years?
Yes. Steve Jobs, you don't think he made a name for himself?
What does recent years mean to you?
In recent history, rather. Okay, anybody's listening to the podcast, I hope he doesn't edit this because what I just said is not crazy. He only passed, 6 years ago? In recent history, Steve Jobs is someone who made a name for himself. That's going to go down in history as someone.
I wasn't thinking that big, I guess. I don't know. Let's take it as someone we know or.
No, we are not on the same page. Making a name for themselves. There's small scale, there's big scale. Steve Jobs is what I aspire to be.
Jeez. I sent him an email once.
I know you told me.
It was, I don't know if it's steve@apple.com or something like that. But I sent him an email, like a Bluetooth device with a 3.5mm jack that you could plug into your car, your computer, your TV, your stereo, and it's just little jack, and it picks up your phone and would automatically turn on and play a song whenever you walked in or had it plugged in. I thought it was a good idea. He didn't reply. Do you think it's a coincidence that once he died, they got rid of the home button and screwed that up? Huh? I can't open your phone. Your iPad. No. It doesn't have a home button. I can't. I don't understand why they got rid of that damn thing.
The first week I had the phone, I hated it, but it's fine for me now. It's your face that opens it.
That's it is?
Yeah, like when I look at it, it knows I'm looking at it, so that's why I can swipe. Well, and I now, because I have Apple Pay, now I also have to double security.
That makes me nervous. Remember the old flip phones where the razors, where you didn't even have to use your fingers to open it? You could just grab the lower half of it and it would fly open.
Yeah, like a spy.
Yeah, why don't they have an app or a feature where you just flick your phone like that and hey, it's unlocked or it's open?
Oh.
Who's in charge of Apple? No, I have Steve Jobs' email. I could email him, but I'm going to have to call some people.
You're going to have to call somebody for the podcast?
I'm going to have to call some people for this one, I think.
Thank you for calling the DirecTV response line. All agents are currently assisting other customers. Please hold while we transfer you to the next available agent. Thank you for your patience. Your call is important to us. Please continue to hold for the next available agent.
Who thinks they need to go to put them in a song and get some new music, huh?
If you would like to be put on our Do Not Call list, please press 1.
Yeah, let's go ahead and do that. Let's call someone else.
Hello?
Hey, I was just returning a call from this number.
I don't think I tried to call this number.
All right. Well,
sorry.
While I have you on the line, would you be interested in doing a small interview? I'm doing a podcast. Sure. I'm not a telemarketer, by the way. I'm doing a podcast, okay. And I'm actually calling some telemarketers back. I thought you were one.
No.
Do you have like 2 minutes?
I'm actually at work right now. Sorry.
Oh man, I'm sorry. All right.
No, you're all right.
All right. Well, have a good day, bud.
You too.
All right. See ya.
Thank you for calling. To make a payment over the phone, press 1. To speak to a representative, please call back during our business hours.
Press 1 to be removed from our calling list. Your number has been removed.
Goodbye.
Goodbye.
Hello?
Hey, how you doing?
Hi, Shane.
Hey, would you want to talk about making a name?
Making a name.
Yeah. The tagline, I think you can get it from the tagline or the hook.
Making a name.
That's a song?
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, okay.
So the hook is between Jesus and Satan, by God, I'm making a name. You know, it's going to be in there somewhere.
What inspired it?
Well, I really wanted to put something out there that I was really proud of and what I want people to remember my songwriting abilities to be.
Yeah.
And you know, if I'm gone, you know.
Where are you going?
Well, I don't plan to go anywhere soon.
Okay.
So
I'm just making sure. This is like a farewell album of some kind.
No, what got me thinking about it, it's like the 4 or 5 year anniversary of my grandfather's death. And
oh yeah.
And I remember him and his funeral as it was so impactful that everyone was there, that he had an impact on their life.
Oh yeah, totally.
He had some kind of, it was like an extra legacy kind of thing just for a small town. And I got to thinking about it like, man, what's it going to take to have that? You know, not necessarily that I want that, but
there's a lot that went into that.
There is. And I'm sure he wasn't thinking about, you know, what are people going to think about me after I'm gone? He was just living in the moment and impacting people's lives as he knew best, you know. Yeah. Have you ever thought about how people perceive you? Or or do you aspire to somebody's name? Like Chrissy says Steve Jobs. Like like that's a that's a huge kind of.
She wants to leave a Steve Jobs legacy.
No, I that wasn't what she was talking about. She needs to go back to school. She wants to have that kind of impact on people. Yeah, I think what she was getting at is that type of impact on the world. You know, not necessarily. Friends and family is definitely a part of that.
Yeah.
But his impact on the world was incredible, right?
Sure. He didn't really impact me a whole lot. Minus the fact that I have an iPhone.
Yeah. Well, that and you can check your email at any time. And I know between you and me, I send you stuff all the time asking for melody changes or can you do anything with this? And, you know, because you're amazing. But what I'm saying is, I'm trying to get back to my point. There is no to that statement. I'm trying to get back to the point. you can listen to what I've done here in Nashville within 2 minutes, you know, just because you can pull it up on your email and listen to it on your phone and stuff like that.
Steve Jobs made that possible.
Yeah. 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 So he definitely changed how the world interacts.
Mike is looking at me so confused right now. He's like, what the hell are you guys talking about?
Bring Mike on.
Well, Mike's working.
Oh, he is. Yeah, that's right. It is Sunday.
Okay. Now you're talking to Erica Mountford, not Erica Chambers. You see what I'm saying?
I see what you're saying.
Okay. Because Erica Chambers, she had some aspirations back in her day. But Erica Mountford, she's different.
Okay. So who? In a better way? Or worse?
Hopefully not worse.
I don't know.
No. I left him football. Not like in life, just the room. I got tired of football.
His job is to create stats. Or not create stats. He doesn't create them. He just records them, I guess.
Yeah. He analyzes them.
Yeah.
So, back in the day, when I was an artist, Erica Chambers, she had some aspirations, you know. A good 10, 15 years ago. You know, she wanted to be an artist that was remembered for good music or for at least helping people through things that she had been through and had come out on the other side of. I think a lot of our music that we write as artists are things that we've been through. Just like you were saying, you know, you want to leave an album of stuff that matters to you, you know?
Yeah.
That you identify with or whatever.
Songs that I would like to hear.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Well, musically and lyrically?
Mostly lyrically. I'd have to take a year to write an album and record the music that I would like to hear. Because I'm not... Ooh. I'm not...
Because you need to break out your saxophone?
No, I'm not as proficient with the musical side of it, unless someone is directing me on what to do.
Yeah, me either. Yeah, I can only do the one instrument. At least you have me beat there. I don't do the saxophone.
I don't do that anymore either.
Oh, But yeah, you know, I wanted to leave something. I don't know if I had a person necessarily that I wanted to aspire to, or, you know, like Steve Jobs legacy wise.
Yeah, that's a huge
that's
one.
Quite the toll there. But I mean, I wanted to be some kind of an inspiration. Maybe not anything I can define, but at least a good inspiration. But I'm not an artist anymore. Erica Chambers died, well, metaphorically. And artistic, no, that's not true.
No, it's not, because I just worked on your website.
It's, oh, yeah,
ErikaChambersMusic.com.
She's alive.
She does demo and session work.
That's true.
For vocals.
That's true. So demo Erica Chambers, she doesn't really have a whole lot of aspiration. She just wants to make stuff sound good for people.
You like to sing. And
I just really enjoy it. Yeah.
Yeah. And you have perfect pitch, and you help me out so much with
everything
you do. Yeah, and you like to do it.
Yeah, and I really didn't like being an artist, you know. It took me a long time to realize that, but I'm the demoing and the recording and the working with people who write songs to help make them better if they want help, is all I really ever wanted to do. So Erica Mountford, which is the person behind the Erica Chambers demo, all she really wants to aspire to is to be helpful and have a loving family and friends and enjoy what she does, as opposed to the Eric Chambers artist who was like, I'm gonna change the world. But you know, when we're 19, we're all gonna change the world.
Yeah. Yeah.
And then we realize that there's other things that we like too, which are money.
Yeah.
I shouldn't have led with money. I should have led with my husband.
Well, I wonder if there's something to that, because when I was 19 years old, I thought the same thing.
Yeah.
And that's not something that people teach you necessarily.
No, yeah.
I wonder if there's something to when you're young that you, well, what you said is change the world. And I wonder if it's fearless, that fearlessness, whatever that is. I wonder if that's kind of in our DNA, you know, when we're younger.
Yeah.
And that kind of fades when we're older. Why did the artist Erica Chambers die?
Well, that's just really because I, you know, and it's not even because I don't necessarily want to write or perform or anything of that anymore. I it's silly to say that I grew up, or I guess it's more that I grew out of it. I always dreamt of being that and being an artist and whatever, stadiums, performing, whatever, everybody knows who I am kind of a thing. But in becoming who I am, I changed. And that goal or that desire to do that or be that, I just didn't have anymore. And I was like, you know what? I'm going to need to rearrange some priorities here and figure out what I actually want. And so it became more of like a, let's do what we actually want to do, as opposed to, like, you know, what I wanted to do changed. I didn't want to be that anymore. I just wanted to sing and do things I enjoy instead of performing, which I don't enjoy.
Yeah. I'm in the same boat with you. I used to think that was the way to do it. Get on stage and
you
perform.
Went on tour.
Yeah. I like being behind the scenes and watching other people.
Exactly.
I like seeing a song get created with just acoustic guitar and giving me chills, you know, by myself. And then I get into the recording process, and that's the hard part for me is what style, you know,
does this song
need to be in? I know I have my specific tastes.
Yeah.
But that doesn't,
that
doesn't necessarily mean that's the best for the song. Why didn't you like performing?
Oh, I have the stage fright. It's really just because I'm a perfectionist, which you probably know from working with me a little bit. I'm a little bit of perfectionist because I'll give you like four tracks and be like, now this particular word of the fourth track of this line, now that's the good take, but you're gonna have to mesh it with the other, you know how I am. But
yep.
it's the perfectionism in me that can't handle performing because I can't be perfect all of the time, and I shouldn't. I mean, no one's perfect all the time. That's just a stupid
that's amazing to
expectation
me. It's just amazing that that's your fear, because every time I've heard you sing, you've never been flat or sharp. You have.
Well, I don't know if that's true.
Well, it doesn't sound like it. It surely doesn't sound like it. You've always been on perfect pitch. So that is one thing. Every time I've seen you play out, it's always been, this sounded exactly like the last time I heard you. And it's also the same on the recording. You know, with a little bit of reverb or whatever, you know, that's amazing to me that that's your fear.
Well, the thing is, I'm always my worst critic, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. I get that.
Cause I'm the one that's the perfectionist. Y'all all listening aren't, you're just like, oh man, this is a great sound. She's a really good singer. But I'm over here thinking like, well, I didn't sing that note right. Wish I would have held that longer. Wish I could catch my breath here.
Well, you also wrote the song, so that makes it entirely different.
That's true, because you're burying your soul at the same time.
Well, yeah, and you know the ins and outs to that song.
Oh, yeah.
I don't.
Oh, that's a good point.
You know what I mean?
Like, yeah, I didn't think about that. I know how it sounds when it's perfect. And you don't.
I don't know if that really matters. I don't know if songs are supposed to be perfect.
Oh, they're not.
I don't think whatever humans create, I don't think it's really meant to be perfect. I think impacting a lot of people, there's something to be said about that. But
totally.
I think we all have something in us that accepts imperfections, and that impacts us almost just as much as, you know, quote unquote perfection would.
Oh yeah. 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 I mean, perfection is just silly. It's a silly thing in general.
Which is
partly why I'm not performing anymore. Cause I was like, you know what? I have these unrealistic expectations on myself. Pressuring myself, I'm not enjoying it. I'm not happy. Let me do what makes me happy, where I can be a little bit more controlling about my perfection, which is recording, because I can do it again.
Different takes. Yeah.
Exactly. Yeah. Just do the thing that lets my perfectionism shine a little bit.
Yeah. Yeah. That's definitely something that I enjoy most about singing is into a mic where it's just me and my computer because I'm not as confident, and I don't like my voice, and I try to do take after take and a style that I feel like it needs.
Try to mess around with it. Hear the right thing.
Most of the tracks I send you, I don't care, because I know that it doesn't matter what I sing, as long as it's a basic melody. You know, I get I don't put any kind of auto-tune or anything on my voice when I send it to you because I know.
Because, you know, I don't care.
Well, I like to give you a hard time because I know you have perfect pitch.
But you do it intentionally to mess with me.
There are some times that I'm like, ah, sure. This'll make her cringe. But but I know you have a talent that I'm kind of jealous of. That you can hear melodies and harmonies, and you can sing those without fault. A lot of times. I mean, your website, the video on your website, the engineer or producer, whoever that was, was talking about you, how you're a one take kind of person. He didn't need any kind of pitch correction, and it was just unheard of. It really is, because the best of the best need some kind of pitch correction somewhere.
That was a really good day for me. But I drank a lot of water that morning.
But that's normal. That I could say that's normal for you.
It's more normal than it isn't.
True. And humans have a lot of faults in them. You know, when even with recording, all my drums are MIDI, right? And which means every hit is a recorded sound. Somebody sat there and hit a cymbal. Someone sat there and hit a drum, or recorded some kind of drum thing. And every hit is its own sound. So I can move those around wherever, but the software has something called Humanize, right? So
Humanize.
Yeah. It's called Humanize. And
where it like makes it sound like it's flowing real drum.
It puts everything off just a hair. So because humans are not perfect, you know, when they play.
There's a machine. Not a machine. There's a button that puts it off a hair.
Yeah.
Intentionally.
Yeah. To give it more of a human feel. Because if you were to put everything on beat, it doesn't sound natural.
I'm going to need you to send me two samples of something. One with humanized drums and one without, because I need to hear this.
Okay. All right.
If you say, my mind is blown right now. Why would it be off by just a hair?
Because
and how can you tell that it's off by just a hair?
Well, that's how humans play.
You don't know.
Well, that's what I'm kind of saying. Regardless if you have perfect pitch like you, or if you're like me, everybody has their own faults, and it sounds natural that way.
Yeah. Right? I gotcha.
And if it was so processed and you know what I'm talking about. If it was over the top processed and quote unquote perfect, you know, you lose that human element of it where, you know what I'm talking about. You know what I'm talking about.
Yeah. Yeah. I know what you're talking about. Well, it's just like you were saying, like an artist shouldn't be perfect. You know, like we shouldn't strive for perfection. And I completely agree. Any show that you've been to at like a Nashville dive bar or even at Memphis dive bar, anywhere, like any just like real raw artists, like those are always the ones that you're just like, damn, that's good. You know, where they're just like, they're raw and they're not perfect and they improvise and things that I would never do.
Yeah.
You know, I'm very straight laced. I always do the same take the same way every time.
Yeah.
Slightly more perfection each time. You know, I can't get out of my box. And when they can and when they do, it's just, it's what it's meant to be. It's what artists are meant to be.
It's in the moment.
Yeah. Yeah.
Do you ever do a take where you're just like, I'm just going to go for it. And whatever happens, happens.
No.
No.
What is that? That's not control. Yeah. Come on, Jake.
I know. I know you better.
No, but I do. When I'm working out harmonies or working out new melodies, like I was for that song the other day. Well, over the last week or so. What's the song called again? People dealing with people.
Dealing with people. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Like when I'm working out stuff like that, usually I'll just turn my recorder on as I'm listening to the song and I'll just like hum along or start singing along. Cause sometimes I'll sing something and I'll be like, whoa, what did I just sing? I can't even remember. And then I'll try to recreate it. And I'm like, I'm never going to get that back. What was it? So I have to I always have to have my recorder going. Cause sometimes when I'm learning something or figuring something out where it should flow, I'm having to improvise. And then, you know, once I nail it down, then of course it's perfect and controlled.
Yeah. Do you happen to save any of those takes?
Yeah, but they're not on pitch.
I really want to put those in the next episode or the episode of dealing with people.
It's like really quiet too. It's like me because I usually have headphones on and I'm like murmuring to myself.
Yeah, I know how that is. Yeah. I listen to voice memos on my phone every now and then because I always forget to label what.
Oh
what
yeah, it is. Yeah, yeah.
And I'm like, it's just like, I'm like, what in the world is this?
But you woke up at 3 a.m. because that's what was on your mind. And you're like, I got to lay this down right now.
Yeah. Yeah. It was so important at the time.
Yeah. Yeah. No, I've done that a bajillion times. Yeah.
Have you heard Making a Name? Did I send you that one?
No, you haven't. Because when you were talking about it earlier, I was like, is this a song? What? Huh?
Actually, I did send it to you. It's in a text message. It's in a text message because I said this is the title of the album.
Oh, that was like a week ago.
Yeah, yeah.
Oops. I'll go listen to it.
No, you don't have to. I forgot. I sent it to you.
Well, the thing was, I was working on the other song, and then you sent me that song, I think, too. And so I was like, what? There's too many songs. I have to focus on one.
Yeah, I have to write an album.
Oh yeah. Well, I have to do it. I guess that's more than one song then.
I have one called Bully too. It's about you'll find this interesting. It's about I like being a bully because it's just so easy to do. You guys are scared to fight back and it's just too easy being a bully. You know.
Interesting.
So Chrissy said that one won't go over well. But
well, what's the rest of it though? Because I understand the concept. Like you're saying, choosing to be the bully is the easier role to take. But what's the rest of the?
There is nothing else. That's the entire thing. I think just hearing the song, nobody likes a bully. I know that for a fact. You know, even if you are a bully, if you get bullied on, you're going to hate that person you know what I mean? But I don't think it really needs, to say, hey, bullying is bad. I think having a song that makes people uncomfortable like that, it just puts it in a different mindset. Like, hey, you make it easy to be a bully, so I'm not going to change anything. You know, I think that's probably enough, you know, to make some kind of impact on somebody. Interesting. So
I get the concept.
Yeah.
I think if you do it right, it'll not go over well. Cause the point of that type of a song is not to go over well. It's to challenge the way that you think.
Yeah. Yeah. It goes from somebody in the lunch line. I got bullied in a lunch line once. let me pull it up here. Right here. Okay. Goes into the lunch line and then it goes into a banker. Like, it's going to take more percent because you're late sending it in. I know you can't afford it. It's just too easy, you know? And then it goes into social media with, I'm going to comment on your post, or I'm going to post something. And that says, you're a racist if you don't like this, or if you don't like this part.
Or if you disagree with this, you can just block me now.
I'm going to categorize you if you don't like this. You know, it's just too easy because I have more outspoken friends that back me up. And that those are the people that are going to put you in your, they're going to bully you, you know, they're going to bully more people like that. You know, it's, I think it's interesting.
It is interesting. Yeah, I agree.
But it's, other than just putting it out there of different types of bullies, I'm not really making a point. I don't plan to in this song. It's just putting it out there, different types of bullies. And I think people can grab on to whatever they want. So.
No redemption line, huh?
No. No, I don't plan to have one.
Okay.
I'll send it to you.
Okay.
When I get it recorded.
Well, if you text it to me, I won't listen to it for a week.
Yeah, apparently. Well, I appreciate you being on. It's now, what, almost 8 o'clock, and I just don't have anything done. I have interviews recorded. I started editing Chrissy's portion of it, and I have three others to do.
So, okay. Got your work cut out for you.
Hey.
Hello. Hey, can you hear me now?
Yeah.
Okay, there's a buzz. I don't know if you can hear it on your end.
How about now?
No, I still hear it.
You do?
I mean, I guess if you can't hear it on your end, then... All right, let me just try calling you right back to see if that does anything.
Okay. All right.
All right.
Hey.
Hey.
You still here?
Yeah, it's still there. That's weird.
How about now?
There it went. It's gone. Okay.
My phone was plugged in. Why? I needed to do that? I have no idea.
Yeah. Fucking hell, yeah. Power. Yeah.
All right. Well, making a name. What does that mean to you? What would you like your name to be?
Corey. It's what I've responded to for the last 31 years.
Yeah. Well, what that means to me is a brother, a good person, and that's because, and a guy I can hang out with and say really anything to, right?
Yeah.
But not everybody knows that, you know. To a lot of people, you're just Corey. You make furniture, and you like puns.
Yeah.
If it came up in the conversation, right?
Right. Any opportune moment, you get to work it in.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. But what would you like your name to be for people to look back?
Yeah.
You know, in the history books.
Mm-hmm. You know, I was thinking about it, and it's like, I guess it depends. Like, if you're looking for, like you mentioned, like a title for the history books, you know, because as it stands, I mean, a lot of people, depending what crowd or what group or what people I'm involved with, they consider me, you know, different things. You know, they might see a portion of my life, like, for example, like you mentioned, woodworking. So like my clients that might not know me personally view me as a woodworker, you know, well, this guy did this for us. And that's what to them I'd be in the history books as. You know, like whenever I was playing music pretty frequently, I mean, there's, I'm a drummer, you know, and this is, I'm the guy that was sitting behind there at every gig and, well, cracking jokes, you know. And so there's that. And then there's the personality. I think what most people want to have their name be remembered as is, you know, just who they are as just as a person. Like, remove everything, just put them in the room with another person or a group, and that's who you are, you know.
What name, living or dead, would you like to aspire to? Chrissy said Steve Jobs, you know, because he had so much of an impact on how we live our lives today. Maybe a big picture. I'll tell you the line in the song. The hook of the song is, between Jesus or Satan, by God, I'm making a name. Right?
Yep.
So wherever that lies, you're going to make one, right?
Yeah.
And right. It's kind of a helpless kind of thing, but also a I'm going to do it kind of thing, regardless yep. of how people perceive me. You're going to make one. And it's kind of an uneasy feeling, you know, when you think about it. So,
right. Okay.
Take to that however you want to. You want to take to it.
Yeah. Well, you know, first of all, I mean, I think your name is, sometimes it lines up, sometimes it doesn't with what other people would, call you, you know?
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, it's a perception thing. Like, how do you perceive yourself and how do others perceive you? And when you got to think of like what sort of impact, because normally that's what, you're derived after, you know, like Steve Jobs, you know, talk like Chrissy said, like he impacted the way people are, you know, the lifestyle and how
others can make their name, right?
How others can make their name. Exactly. And, so he provided that for people. You know, I mean, you don't hear of, you know, like, well, man, Steve Jobs made a mean pot roast. You know, I mean, you don't hear that because it doesn't really impact people as much as the other things that he's done. So, you know, if I were to put myself in that circumstance, I would more or less, you know, say, okay, well, Corey, he's fun loving, I guess. He's loving, he's hardworking. Ambitious, maybe a go-getter, and you know, and that's just from my perception too. Like I can't see myself in the mirror as well as other people can. So some people might disagree with that or have something else to add to it. But, you know, I like the word Renaissance man came to mind. You know, jack of all trades, master of none type of deal.
Mm-hmm.
I've done a range of things, and I'm not afraid to try new adventures and whatnot. Hence the getting my pilot's license and kind of shifting gears metaphorically like that too. So
that's what I was going to bring up is you have always done carpentry. And that was your full-time job. And then you, on the side, you started the granary designs.
Yep.
Okay.
Yep.
That's where you build custom, it's not furniture, it's custom woodworking.
Woodworking, essentially. Yep.
Yeah.
Most of it is furniture, but yeah, I mean, it's still woodworking, regardless of what it is.
Do you have a website?
Just Facebook and Instagram at The Granary Designs. no website yet. I'm not that fancy yet.
As far as that brand, is that any different than the way that you would like to be perceived? Or is it the same thing?
No, I think whenever you start something of your own like that, it is a reflection of who you are. And so a lot of the values that I put into my woodworking, I carry through life as well. I mean, first of all, just speaking, woodworking is quality. I mean, it's got to be something that is of quality. Otherwise, I don't even mess with it. You know, same. It's my same viewpoint on life too. I mean, like if it's not worth doing, then don't do it. You know, or don't sell it. My saying for my company is heirloom quality furniture, and those are three separate words. You know, heirloom period quality period and furniture. Or woodworking. You can substitute that last one for woodworking. But, just the word heirloom means it's something that's passed down. You know, in order to have an heirloom, it's got to be of quality, too. And then those are the two pillars that I kind of focus on through the design and everything like that and the building process. I want to make sure that it'll stand the test of time as much as wood itself can. But yeah, it's that's what I strive for with the granary is really making sure that it's worth it, you know, for yeah. them and for me.
Yeah. Yeah. When you do custom stuff, I know from experience that it's hard to balance that level. Is it worth it for everybody? You know?
Right.
Is there a name that you aspire to, living or dead?
In each phase, I go through these things. Like, you know, in my musician phase, I'd look up to different drummers and what they're capable of and what most aligns with my style and taste. And then, somebody like that. One of my favorite drummers is Carlock. Apparently, I don't remember it. It's not my favorite. It shouldn't be my favorite. Steve Carlock. Keith Carlock. Not Steve. Good grief. we were talking about Steve earlier, so that name didn't...
Steve Gadd.
Steve Gadd, Steve Jordan. So that was, you know, during that phase. And then, you know, woodworking, there's all kinds of woodworkers out there. You know, honestly, one of the, as far as like overall vibe and what is possible of what he can do is Nick Offerman, you know, Ron Swanson Parks and Rec. Yeah. Just following him on Instagram and Facebook and stuff. And, in his woodworking company, it's pretty cool stuff what they can do, you know, as a company. And then just his overall vibe is it's quirky and funny, yet you take him seriously.
Right. I know you auditioned for his TV show with Amy Poehler. Mm-hmm. Did anything come of that?
Well, the bottom line with that was just that I was kind of late in the game. And they look for specific people to fill a spot. And I'm pretty sure they already had a woodworker already filled at that point. So, but they did want me to contact them for the next season because I got pretty far in the process. And numerous conversations with the casting agents and whatnot. And they were really excited about me and who my personality and of course what I can do and whatnot. So that was fun. I mean, as far as that goes, I mean, that kind of gives you a little more affirmation that, on who you are and what's, you know, what kind of impact you could have on a more of a grandstand platform, like a television network show.
Right. So, what was that show called?
Making It.
Making It.
Yep.
Maybe I should call them up for this episode.
You should.
Making a name.
Yeah, Making It. Yeah, that's right.
Yeah.
Except they're more like crafts. Like, there was a guy, I don't know if you've ever seen any of the episodes, but there was a guy there that it was specialized in felt, like F-E-L-T, felt. I had no idea that was a specialty.
No. Stuff.
It's like, I'm sure there's somebody out there that, you know, is a guru with used popsicle sticks or something like that. And there's a little bit of that everywhere.
There's definitely somebody that specializes in Velcro, and Post specializes in Post-it notes.
Post-it notes. Yeah. Right.
So it takes all kinds of kinds, I guess.
Exactly. Yeah, it takes all kinds to make the world go around, that's for sure.
Yeah. Hey, man. How you doing?
Hey, what's up, buddy?
Just trying to get this episode together.
Oh, I hear you. I hear you.
I appreciate you calling, bud.
No problem, buddy. Hey, there is a bunch of static. I don't know if it's on my end or your end.
Oh, hold on. I found... How's that?
Oh, that's way better.
It's weird. If I have my phone plugged in, when I use my recording device here, there's a whole bunch of static on a phone call on your end.
Okay.
Yeah. I found that out in the last interview I just did. So.
Oh, no.
This episode is called Making a Name.
Okay.
And I reached out to you because your podcast is called...
Made Us.
Is it The Stories That Made Us? Or is that just kind of your tag?
The podcast is just called Made Us.
Okay. All right.
Yep.
Okay.
But that's where I came up with it.
Yeah. It's kind of the, what would you call that? A tagline or something like
yep.
that. So, yep. Yeah. Like mine is, you have a better voice than you think.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I get it. So I reached out to you, because I thought you might have some insight on.
Okay.
Making a name, you know?
Yeah. So, I mean, we could go a couple ways. I mean, cause I've done this several times. I don't want to say I've done this several times, but I've done this a few times. Obviously I own a tattoo studio that I've had to name, that I put work into naming. I had a clothing company that I had to name, you know what I mean? And a podcast now. So
I didn't know you had a clothing company.
Yes, sir.
What's that one called?
Broken Key Apparel.
Broken Key Apparel. What kind of stuff do you?
It's just shirts.
Okay.
And at the moment right now, we're kind of on a hiatus. It's brokenkeyapparel.com.
Okay.
I hopefully it's still there. we've been on about a year hiatus from it.
Okay.
Life just got in the way, but.
All right.
But you can find it on Facebook at Broken Key Apparel. You can find it on Instagram, Broken Key Apparel.
Okay.
And speaking of name, we have we just failed at naming something too, which we can either talk about on the air or off the air. But Bob and I are starting a new podcast.
Oh, okay.
Have you heard this yet?
No.
So we are starting a new podcast, the two of us, and it's just more going to be a conversation podcast.
Mm-hmm.
And we sat and we came up with all these clever names, and then he put it out to his fans. And they're like, why don't you call it Bob and Weave? And we're like, damn it, that's amazing.
Yeah, that's pretty good. What's the mindset behind the podcast? Like, what would you like to accomplish?
The new one or mine?
Oh, that new one.
The new one?
Yeah.
So the idea is we're going to talk about kind of controversial topics, but we're going to talk about it from a very neutral point of view. We're gonna present both sides of each topic and leave it at that. We're not gonna form any opinions or put our opinions out there.
Okay.
And just try to show people that there's a lot of there's a lot of gray area and there's a lot of room for to see the other side.
If you want to hear that podcast, go let Bob Ruff or Zach Weaver know on Facebook or Twitter or Instagram or whatever they use. I don't know. Or you can contact me. I'll let them know. That should be heard, right? The stuff that you have under your name.
Yeah.
What went into that? Is it something that you want other people to perceive right away? Or is it kind of on the back end and try to get them involved first? And then they kind of receive the name and the brand after that?
You know, I would say I like to see it on the front end. I like to have them be able to know what's going on and kind of catch what's going on. So with Made Us, I mean, are we recording? Do you want to do this now or you want to wait?
Oh yeah, we're recording. Sorry.
Okay. I didn't want to say anything. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Okay. So with Made Us, the idea was I sat around, you know, I had the idea for Made Us. I wanted it to be, a storytelling podcast. I sit around and I tattoo for a living and I hear these amazing stories, these super inspirational stories. Some of them some of them really inspire me. Some of them can be depressing, but everybody has a story. And my idea was to try to share these stories to show people that they're not alone. That was a big thing. And as I try to develop a story or as I try to develop a name for the show, I sat and I kind of pondered over it and I kind of fought with myself trying to say, you know, what is something that says exactly what this is and what is it that I'm trying to do? So I kind of sat down and I'm like, okay, these are the stories that like, these are their stories. These are the stories that kind of made them who they are, you know, and I had all these silly names that I was trying to be powerful with and they just didn't come across right. And as the more I sat there, I'm like, you know, what can I call this? And these are the stories that made these people, you know, these are the stories that made me who I am. These are the stories that made them who they are. And then it just kind of hit me. I'm like, oh my goodness. Like it's so simple. It's right there in front of my face. It's Made Us, you know? And then like the tagline is, these are the stories that made us.
Right. So you got that idea from tattooing people.
Yep.
Right.
And, that's correct.
And I find it amazing that, well, I guess it's not that amazing when you think of it, because these people have these stories that mean so much to them.
Absolutely.
That they want to, they want to put it on their bodies forever. Right.
Absolutely. And that's exactly it. These people are coming in with something they want to remember. And then we get talking about it. And sometimes it's not always about the tattoo they're getting. We just get talking.
Yeah.
But that's exactly it. These people have these stories that they want to share with others or they want to just remember for themselves.
Yeah.
And that was a big part of it, was really being able to hear these stories from people every day. I mean, that's, you know, I tattoo for a living, but I half joke that like I talk to people for a living because that's really what I do. I sit with these people for hours at a time and talk to people.
You know, my wife is a hair and makeup artist.
She gets it. It's exactly the same.
She talks about that all the time. And I'm like, why do people choose you over somebody else? Well, because what she says is she's a person.
Absolutely.
Right. And you make it as comfortable for the client as possible. And you talk about you let them talk about themselves. And you make them comfortable. And I think that goes so far with everything that is in the world today. I guess what I'm trying to say is there's one simple aspect for people creating a name for themselves. It's just so simple. Just be polite, you know, listen. And have a conversation. Having a conversation with somebody that's open, not, you know what I mean?
I think you hit it. Go ahead. Sorry.
Oh, no, go ahead. I was just going to say that there's different types of conversations, but when you're open to having one,
that's a whole different level of intimacy.
I think you hit it right on the head. You said one word a minute ago that stood out to me, and that's listen. Mm-hmm. You have to listen to their conversation. You have, you know, or you have to listen to what they're saying. You have to give these people a voice and then actually listen to what they're saying. You know, so many people want to give people a voice, but then they worry about themselves after that.
Yeah.
So by having that like honest conversation and allowing them to voice their opinion or just let them be heard and it actually listen to what they have to say really goes a long way.
Yeah, absolutely. What do you aspire to leave behind? Is that something you think about, or is that not something that ever came to mind before?
You know, honestly, I've thought about it a lot. It is something that I probably think about too much. One of my biggest fears in life is being forgotten. And I know that's really deep. I have no idea why that scares me. But that is one of my biggest fears in life, is being forgotten. And my goal is to do as much as I can to impact as many people positively as I can in order to kind of, like you said, build a legacy. I know maybe that sounds selfish, you know, because I do want to help people. I'm not just saying it because I want to build a legacy for myself or be remembered, because I do truly want to help people. But I think kind of in the back of my mind, like, I know that the more people I can impact, the longer I will be around.
After you're gone, right?
After I'm gone, yeah.
Yeah.
And again, maybe that's a selfish way to look at it, but it's an honest way to look at it.
Is there somebody, a name that you would aspire to?
Absolutely. It's really simple for me. His name is Carl Sagan. Many people may know him. Many people may not know him, but he has really truly affected almost everybody's lives. He is since deceased, but he was a very famous astrophysicist. And he is truly one of the people that brought, we'll say it this way, brought science to the everyday person. He took complicated science theories and, in a bad word, put it into layman's terms so everybody could understand it. He had a huge series called Cosmos back in the late 80s, early 90s, which has since been remade by Neil deGrasse Tyson probably 2 years ago. But he is a very accomplished author. But the biggest thing with him is he wanted to show everybody that this is something that everybody can understand. And I think he really affected everybody. And with that being said, I named my second child after him. My second child's name is Sagan.
Oh, really?
Yep. And he really affected me in other ways, too. So one of his books and one of his theories is called Pale Blue Dot. And that's exactly what he's talking about, Earth. There was a photo from, and I may get this wrong, people can fact check me, I want to say it's from Voyager, that just before Voyager left the solar system, it turned around and took a photograph in the direction of Earth. And they figured out where Earth was in this photograph. And it is a pale blue dot in this photo. Nothing more than this pale blue dot in this entire photo. And it just kind of goes to show you that no matter how important we think we are, it's very insignificant in the grand scheme of things. And I think that's one of those things that, even though I want to be remembered and I want to push, like, you always have to remember that, like, there's so much more out there.
Yeah. I think now is a good time for me to tell you my hook for this song. The hook to the song is "Between Jesus and Satan, by God, I'm making a name." At some point, we're all going to die, right?
Yep.
And between Jesus and Satan, by God, we're making a name. So What would that mean to you? Where would you like to stand on that side of stuff?
You know, it's twofold. I think it's really, you know, comprehension wise, you're saying you, whatever you choose to do, you need to be the best at it, or you need to truly give it your all. And if it's in a positive light, you're going to go to one end. If it's in a negative light, you're going to go the other way. And this is a very weird way to look at it, but you look at people, you look at individuals like Muhammad or Gandhi or Mother Teresa, you know, they're giving their life one way and really pushing themselves. Now, on the other hand, look at somebody like a serial killer, like Ted Bundy. He has a very negative light, but he's also has a legacy now. It's a weird way to look at it, but it is there.
Yeah.
And hopefully I end up on the more positive end.
Yeah. Most people would say that, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, absolutely. But I'm one of those people that I truly, I try to look at things from a neutral point of view.
Yeah.
And see both sides of it.
I'm the same way. I do mention Gandhi.
Okay.
In the chorus, by the way.
Okay.
I always love that quote. He said, "Be the change you want to see in the world."
Yep.
Yeah.
It's a wonderful quote.
Yeah. That goes through my mind on a regular basis.
Absolutely.
It's now 4:30 a.m. I think it's kind of prolific that I wrote this song to be behind the beat. So I'm kind of a little late on this episode, but it kind of fits. Making a name.
I was a kid, son, played in the dirt, son, hauling what I could in a Tonka truck. I helped make them brand names while Mama tried her best to keep up. So put me down, the ones who try hard, peaceful and rockers, sinners and the saints. I wanna grow up to be Gandhi or a king, my granddaddy or Superman. Sign in the street on the right side of history. What's it gonna read when I stand between Jesus and Satan? My God, I'm making a name. One, my parents gave me, so one, the good Lord saved me. Sometimes it's hard to live up to. I'm not close to perfect health, I don't think I'm worth it, but everything I'm told says you do. So put me down with the ones who try harder, peaceful and rockers, sinners and the saints. I wanna grow up to be Gandhi or a king, my granddaddy or Superman. Put a sign in the street on the right side of history. What's it gonna be? My God, I'm making a name. But the funny thing about it is I won't write it down. That all gets
gets decided when I'm in the ground. I wanna grow up to be Gandhi or a king, my granddaddy or Superman. Put a sign in the street on the right side of history.
Brought to you by Put Them in a Song, in collaboration with MBI Studios. All guests know they are being recorded and are willing to be. All music and songs are created and scored by PutThemInASong.com. You can follow the Root Note Podcast at Root Note Pod on Twitter. If you would like to have a song or music created for you or a loved one, visit PutThemInASong.com, where you have a better voice than you think. Thanks for listening, and we'll see you next time on The Root Note.